Come on, stand on your feet. Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. 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 God, we give you praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Well, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Well, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Come on, sing that with me. Well, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Well, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Well, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Well, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
Come on, say it again.
Well, I'm so glad.
Great thou art.
Heaven and earth, come on, say. The Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, Say that again.
And bless the Lord, oh my soul.
God, we worship you tonight. Worthy of all the praise and all the glory. We worship you, Lord. God, we worship you, Lord. Worship you, God. And we give you all. worship the Lord right there. Hallelujah. God, we worship you. We give you praise, O Lord. Hallelujah. God, we honor you tonight. We acknowledge you tonight. You said that if we would acknowledge you, you would direct our path. So, God, we do acknowledge you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness, for your mercy. Mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, that you woke us up this morning. Hallelujah. Allowed us to see another day. Here we are almost at the end of this day, and you're still good. You're still awesome. And you've kept us. You've kept us safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. Thank you for everyone that is here this morning. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our youth. Thank you for our adults. Thank you for this, our Wednesday family night, when we come together and just say thank you for your goodness. Just take a moment and appreciate your awesomeness in our life. You're worthy of all the praise. You truly are worthy. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You know everything that's going on in our lives. So God, we thank you for peace tonight. Thank you for strength tonight. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for touching Ron Jackson. Crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing his body. Thank you for healing Will Williams' body. In the name of Jesus, touch Will right now. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We pray for the Russell's son-in-law, Ray. Touch his body, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Touch him. Touch him. Touch him, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Give you praise. We give you praise. Keep Mama Essie safe and Rhonda Johnson as they travel to God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless your name tonight. We love you, Lord. We love you. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Come on, say, I am blessed. Come on, say it again. I am blessed. God, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's say our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart, give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary of doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, every area of my life prosper, and I'm in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless this thy servant and continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you haven't had a chance to do so, go around and greet a couple of people, and we're going to dismiss our children and our youth. Hallelujah. Pastor Sanola is going to be with the youth tonight. Testing, testing, 1, 2. Everybody doing good tonight? Yet holding on? God's unchanging hand. What an awesome Resurrection Sunday. Good service. Just want to remind all the ladies that this coming Saturday is the L3 Ladies Breakfast. 9 a.m. And then the fourth Sunday, going to be the Energy Takeover. So fourth Sunday is our Energy Youth Takeover. We call it Energy Youth Takeover Sunday. That's Sunday, April 23rd. And also that I'm going to do an improv sermon on that Sunday. How many of you have never heard one of my improv sermons? Never heard of improv? Okay. All right. So anybody over here? Have you? You haven't? All right. It's an interesting concept. So basically, on that Sunday, I don't prepare a message. And that morning, I ask for a couple of bits of information from the audience. I'll ask somebody to give me a current event, something in the news, or give me a movie title. Who knows what I'll ask for. And from that information, I will preach a sermon. So we call it improv sermon, because you never know what you're going to get. We've done it about 3 or 4 times. Haven't done it in a while, but our people generally, they say they like it, so we're going to do it on that Sunday. Kind of nerve-wracking for me, because I like being prepared and all that, but it's fun. I have to really, not that I don't rely on the Lord other Sundays, but gosh, tell you what,
Christian experience. All right. And then those of you who have youth as well, April 23rd, is that what that is? April 23rd, yeah. After that service, we're going to have lunch in the back for the youth, and then we're going to go take them bowling. So they're going to have a full day, a fun day. All right, are you ready for our one verse? You're going to like this one. Ooh, this is a good one. It's a good one. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read it in four different versions because, you know, each version just has a little different nuance or word here and there. New American Standard Bible, which is the Bible that I generally preach from. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And then the King James Version says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. That's really nice. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. An expected end. The New Living Translation, NLT. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And then lastly, I'll read the NIV, which is the New International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So I like to always like to start with just sort of the backdrop. First of all, the book of Jeremiah, which was written by Jeremiah, and he's one of the four major prophets. Anybody know who the other three are? Other three major prophets? Huh? Isaiah? Two more? Huh? Ezekiel? Yes, right. And as the last one, starts with a D. Daniel. All right, so Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel were the major prophets. Okay, all right. So Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and he was also known as the prophet of doom, prophet of doom. And the reason is really because of the book of Jeremiah, which also Jeremiah, well, anybody know the other book Jeremiah wrote? Lamentations, ding, 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 ding. Yes. All right. So the reason why he was known as the prophet of doom is because that's what he prophesied to Judah for about 40 years. He prophesied over 40 years to Judah, who they were doomed to Babylonian exile, which they went into because of their refusal to turn away from sin and idolatry. Okay. But also included in the book of Jeremiah, is prophetic words of encouragement that God was going to bring them out of exile. Okay? And so when we get to Jeremiah chapter 29, is a message to the exiles in Babylon. Okay? And let me give you, let me see. Let me get there. So let me read for you just a few chapters, a few, not chapters, a few verses before we get to 11. Look at verse 1, Jeremiah 29:1. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So there it is, right there. Okay? Now let's pick it up at verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Because, you know, God sends people into exile, right? Build houses and live in them and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare. In its welfare you will have welfare. Now just stop right there. So that's God sent them into exile. They're in Babylonian captivity, but God is telling them what their mindset should be. Okay? Live where you are. Find joy in life where you are, even if you feel like you're in exile, even if it's difficult. Live, plant, reap, build, keep it moving. Just because things aren't going well doesn't mean you just stop, drop, and roll. Okay? That's kind of what I get out of this. Because exile is for a season. It's not forever. And you can kind of frame exile however you want in terms of your life. But there are seasons, I mean, there are seasons where we all feel like, you know, man, this is uncomfortable. I've never experienced this before. I know I've been in situations like that. This is, you know, but in those moments, in those times, what God is saying is, you know, don't stop. I'm the author of it. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. So don't stop living. Don't stop believing. Don't stop giving. Don't stop working. Don't stop, you know, enjoying life. Build, plant, reap, sow, love where you are. All right. And pray for the word that God was giving the exiles. You're in Babylon. Pray for Babylon. Yeah, they have you in exile, but pray for them. Here's the takeaway for that. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for your friends. Pray for those who are around you. Okay? Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. Verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. And I'll just say this, that there are false prophets back then and there are false prophets now. You got to know who you're listening to and put it up against the word of the Lord, okay? Then verse 10, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place being Jerusalem. And then he says, for I know the plans I have for you. So, you know, we sometimes take that one verse and just, we don't really understand the context. Well, the context is this. At the time that Judah received this word, they were in prison. They were in exile. Had been taken away from their home. But God is restoring. He's saying, I'm going to restore you. I have a plan. That's what God is saying. You ever watch a movie, you know, slightly like a probably an action movie, and two guys or whoever, two people are talking, and gunfire's everywhere, and, you know, they're surrounded, and one of them looks at the other and says, don't you have a plan? No. Or they'll say, yeah, I got a plan. Just wait. But God always has a plan. God has a plan, even when we're in exile, even when we're in places in our life that we feel, you know, we can't move around as much, or it's a little restrictive, or you know, things are crazy, money's funny, a job is crazy, people are crazy, you know, and you're just in a season where it's just uncomfortable. All through the Word of God, we people have to deal with those kind of issues. Joseph thrown in a pit. Hebrew boys thrown in a fiery furnace. Daniel thrown in the lion's den. Listen, you keep living for God long enough, you're going to be thrown in something. And you just have to, you have to know that God has a plan. So that's sort of the context. And I think there's even more of a blessing in knowing the understanding the context, because anybody can receive a word when things are going great. You sitting on your yacht floating and everything, and you know, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Well, sure you do, yeah. But when it's not like that, when it's difficult, that's when the word really means something. Because so when you hear the verse, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. At that time when they received that word, Judah didn't have they didn't see a future or a hope. They probably felt like God had given up on them. All right? Anybody want to comment on that? Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's good. That's good. Yeah, they had already not met his conditions. That's why they were in exile. Which, you know, God's blessed, that, you know, that's his grace. You messed up, you know, sort of like the parent that spanks the child. Now, you know I love you, right? All right. Anybody else? All right. So, did you have something? Oh, okay. Possibly. Yeah, because God, he thinks generationally, so he's talking to the tribe of Judah, right? So the tribe of Judah, even though some people may have passed away, the tribe of Judah lives on. So, yeah. All right, and here's Jeremiah 29:11. I'll read it again. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Here's a thing always, and I've said it already. God never does anything without a plan. We do not serve a haphazard God. He's not just winging it with you. Okay? He knows what he has planned for you. And you are a part of his plan. We are all a part of his plan as his children. What parent wouldn't have plans for their children? What parent wouldn't care for their children? You know? So God has a plan for us. Isaiah 14:24 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. That's God speaking to us. And the latter part of Isaiah 46 and 11 says, truly, I have spoken, truly, I will bring it to pass, I have planned it, surely I will do it. God is the master planner. Anybody have any comment on that? I think the main thing that we can take away from this is that God had a plan for our salvation, right? And He has a plan for our lives. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And so to me, that gives me hope, knowing that God truly does have a plan for me. That's really, and to Dad's point, it doesn't really matter whether I'm going through a good season or a rough season or a great season. It's a part of God's plan, and doesn't mean it's going to be a bed of roses, obviously, but He has a plan. I think that's, for me, that's the takeaway, most of all, is that He has a plan for me. And if I will stick close to Him and trust Him, I'll begin to make my way to the plan that he has for me. That's sort of... Well, yeah, but I don't. Yes, but I don't see that as that's. I don't see that as the takeaway. I think that. I mean, the story lends itself to the whole exile idea because Judah at the time they were in exile. But if I was going to take away something, it wouldn't be, well, everybody's going to go into exile, because that looks really different for a lot of people, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you're not going to find, you're not going to fulfill His plan if you're not His child. You know, so. But, yeah, it's going to come with some times of difficulty and, you know, questioning God, is this really you? And all that. Yes, sir. Yes. And look, I think sometimes getting my thoughts together here. I think sometimes, you know, when we talk about things like this, we focus so much on quote unquote success on this earth, you know, but you know, this is not our home. We are sojourners here, you know, we're passing through. You know, yeah, we want to have a prosperous journey. God wants us to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers and all of that. But I think if we were to have a conversation with Christ, the real plan is not for us to have success and get stuff. The real plan is to build His kingdom. God has a plan for us, all of us, to in some way affect the earth with the message of Christ, with the gospel. How do we do that? You know, and it doesn't matter what your vocation is, fireman, postman, doctor, lawyer. God has you there. His plan for you is to be salt and light in the earth. Because I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on, you know, his plan, you know, especially when you read the, which one was it, NIV, that says plans to prosper you. That word prosper means to have a successful journey. God wants you to have a successful journey as you are being salt and light in the earth. Okay? Paul said, I've learned how to be abased or in how to abound. I've learned how to do with a little, learned how to deal with when I have a lot. We all go through those seasons, right? But ultimately, whether you are kind of here or here, in whatever season you're in, it doesn't change your message. It doesn't change how bright your light should shine or how much salt you have. So you continue to exude joy and peace in the earth. So that's really, for us, we're going to go through difficult seasons, but God still has a plan. I know I talk about Joseph a lot, but gosh, I just think that what he went through is just sort of a great template. I mean, he went, into a pit, Then he went to prison. Then he went to Potiphar's house, which had sort of some kind of success, you would think. But the reality was, is in Potiphar's house, he was still a slave. And then he goes to prison. Then he goes to the palace. So talk about difficult times. We all want to be in the palace. We don't want to go in the pit. Don't want to take that journey. But I think in some ways, we all go through that journey. I think if I was to ask each person, if I said, tell me where you are right now, pit, Potiphar's house, prison, or palace, every one of you in here would be able to tell me where you feel you are right now. You'll be thinking about that tonight, won't you? I'll be transparent. I think I'm in prison right now. I do. For various reasons. I mean, it has nothing to do with the church. But I think. I know I'm getting a little off. Joseph had giftings and things that he knew that were from God. And yet he was in prison. He was trying to get the word out. He couldn't. I kind of feel like that. I'm trying to get the word out. Music, songs, teachings, all of that. But here's the thing about prison. You're just one step away from the palace. So that's me. That's kind of where, I feel like I've been through the pit. It's just sort of cycles, because really it's sort of like you'll go through that whole process and then it got to start you over again. All right. But I know the plans. He has plans. Yes, ma'am. That's good. Yeah. For those who are watching, I think we've had some people watching, but this is Janet Jackson saying, can we know what God's plan is? And she has a friend that said, I need to know what the plans are because I can't keep going through this. Now, that's real talk right there. Someone, this author wrote a book and said, God has a sense of humor. I just wish he would let me in on the joke. And the reality is that he's not going to tell us the whole thing. He might give us little bits and pieces. I mean, think about this. Abraham? Was it Abraham that he told to go to? He said, "Go to the mountain that I will show you." Right. So as we step out on faith and do what he tells us to do, he'll tell us the next thing, but he's not going to just lay it all out. That's like saying, before Joseph got thrown in the pit, you know, okay, God says, okay, Joseph, here's what's going to happen to you. He don't do that. You know, if he had told Joseph that, Joseph would have jumped in the pit. No, he doesn't tell us. That's where the trust comes in. But isn't it good enough to know that he has the plan? Why you have to know? I was going to ask this question earlier. Because generally there are two kinds of people. How many of you are the type of person where you, if Kevin was here, he'd raise his hand. Are you the type of person where you have to have every single detail laid out about something before you? How many of you are like that? You got to know. It's got to make sense. I'm laughing because Bythe is trying to raise Deidre's hand. Paulette, he's pointing at you. Paulette, you like that? Okay. It's not that's a fault. It's just, you know, and others, I'm kind of in the middle. Others are just like, you know, it don't, whatever you say, Lord, I don't, you know, whatever you, however you, you know, but some people have to have, here's the danger with those of you, is that you don't think it's God. You don't think it's God unless you understand it. Yeah, see? Yeah, it ain't gonna compute, Brother Johnny. You know? So, yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yep, they did. They were. I mean, heroes of faith. I mean, you know, and they didn't get the details. They didn't get, you know, they had to trust God. Yes. Yeah. Long time. That's good. So we mentioned earlier that the reason why that Judah was in the place that they were in was because of disobedience. But like Judah, the tribe of Judah, even in the midst of when we miss the mark, even in the midst of our sin and disobedience, we can be assured that God still has a plan for us. There's a statement that I don't know where I got it from, but I've used it for years. Your mistakes and your sins does not disqualify you from being used of God. I mean, David is a perfect example of that. Perfect example. Can you think with today's media and everything, if David's sin with Bathsheba happened today? Right? But think about this. Even through all of that, God allowed him to maintain his position, right? His as king and all of that. And it was because of his repentant heart. His repentant heart. But, you know, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we're just, I know this is going to sound cliche-ish, but none of us are perfect. We're trying to, when you see the word perfect in the Bible, it means mature. We are trying to mature in God. And God has given us so much grace to try it again. Can I try that one again? How many of you ever played video games when you were little? I did, you know. And you'll play that video game over and over and over and over and over. And the reality is God's going to play you over and over and over. He's going to allow you to run that. He's over. That's his grace. So he still has a plan. He God doesn't say, oh, forget it. Shutting you down. No. Okay, so now, in closing, I'm going to read the scripture again, and then I'm going to just tell you what God's plans for you include based on this scripture. For I know the I'm going to read King James. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. Everybody say peace. And not for evil, say no evil. To give you an expected end. Everybody say an expected end. So, Mama Essie calling? Was that her? Is that Mama Essie? I'll put it on speakerphone. Okay, all right. All right. Somebody find me real quick. Somebody find Isaiah 26 and 3. Isaiah 26 and 3. Somebody else find John 14, 27. Somebody else find Colossians 3, 15. Somebody else find Romans 5 and 1. Isaiah 26 and 3. John 14, 27. Colossians 3, 15. And Romans 5 and 1. Okay, now. So God's plans for us will include, based on this scripture, will include three things. Here's the first thing: peace. Janet, whoever you're talking to, that's what they need. They need the peace of God. Because, watch, lean not unto your own understanding. Right? Because the peace of God will come when you don't lean on your own understanding. All right. So peace. Who has Isaiah 26 and 3? You got to keep your mind. When you trust him, he'll keep you in peace. Doesn't matter what's going on. Craziness. The disciples, you know, the in the boat, Jesus on the bottom of the boat sleep, and there, you know, the storms come. We all go through storms, and they, you know, waking up Jesus, and he just gets up and says, peace be still. That's what he's willing to give to us, a stillness of peace in the midst of our storms. Who's got John 14, 27? Okay, read aloud. Uh-huh. Let it be. Yes, good. Peace I leave you, my peace. It's his peace. Who's got Colossians 3:15? All right, Rita. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let that be the foremost thing in your heart. All right, who's got Romans 5:1? All right, Janet. We got peace. There you go. All right? So that's a part of God's plan for you, is his peace. The second thing is no evil, or no calamity, or no disaster, or no harm. There's a difference between hurt and harm. Okay? Some things may hurt you, or, you know, a pinch or something like that. But harm means that it's going to affect your whole belief system, right? And that's what we're talking about. So God's plan for you includes peace, no evil. Psalm and God delivers us from all what? Evil. He delivers us from evil. But I want to read Psalm 91. That's a good psalm, isn't it? Is that he that dwells in the secret place? Yep, all right. But I'm going to read verse 10 through 12. It says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in your hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. So God will keep you from evil. That's a part of his plan. Now, he may not tell you all the details, but he's going to give you peace in the midst. He's going to make sure that there's no evil or harm or sustained disaster, if you will. And then number three, and we sort of talked about it, an expected end. God knows what the end is. He knows the end from the beginning. Before you were born, good Lord, before we were born, he knew what you were going to, what you were destined to accomplish on this earth. Okay? So here's the thing about that. When you know that he has given you peace, when you know that he is going to keep you from all evil, when you know that he has the plan and he knows the expected end, knowing that God already has everything worked out for you should give you hope. Should give you hope. Even in difficult times, there should be some hope. You know what? This is rough, but God knows. God knows. God's still on the throne. He knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm going through. So I'm just going to ride out the storm. Or if you feel like you need to speak to it, say, "Oh, wait a minute. Hold. This ain't God. I'm speaking to this storm. Peace be still." Okay? Any other comments, questions? This is good. Get some good comments tonight. All right. I just want to remind everybody this coming Saturday again is our ladies L3 fellowship right here in the fellowship hall at 9 a.m. And we'll be back here Sunday for a great service. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this night. Thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you do promise us that you do have a plan for us. And even when we don't have all of the details and don't have everything lined out, we can trust you and we can depend on you and we can have peace knowing that that you do have a plan and you know what the expected end is. And so we trust you and we thank you, Lord, that you don't mean for us to be harmed in any way. We may experience time in the pit. We may experience time in a lion's den. We may experience time in what seems to be a fiery furnace, just uncomfortable. But you always show up, and you won't allow us to be harmed. And so, God, we trust you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Your promises are true. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to believe together, heart and soul. We love you. Thank you for each person that's here tonight. I bless them in the name of the Lord. I bless every family, every household, in the name of Jesus. Now lift those hands toward heaven. I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are. And bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. Continue in the plan of the Lord. And boom!